Mishnah Yomis for Monday, the 14th day of Kislev, Tavshin Pei Dalet. Masechta Yevamos, Perek Asiri, Mishnah Beis. Nisas Alpi Beis Din. What happens if the woman, a married woman, was told by only one witness, that her husband has died, and she got married with the approval of Beis Din? Beis Din Paskind, yes, you've heard it from one witness, you can go get married. And then afterwards, disaster occurs. Her husband actually comes out, and she was an Eshes Ish. The second marriage was invalid, but she's lived with a man outside as an adultery. Without knowing, of course, Taitse, says the Mishnah, she has to leave. She has to get out of the marriage, not only from the second person that she's with, but even from the first husband. And like we said in the previous Mishnah, Ufturo mina korban, but she's exempt from bringing a korban chatos. Normally a woman who, by accident, has been with another man, a married woman, committed adultery, normally has to bring a korban chatos for such a naveira. But here, because she acted with the hira of Beis Din, she acted with on the ruling of a Beis Din, that gets her out of having to bring a korban. Yofe koyach Beis Din, shepoitra min a korban. Says the Mishnah, great is the power of a Beis Din, that when she gets married, based on their decision, she's exempt from a korban. Now, although the Mishnah says this halacha, the halacha is in fact not like our Mishnah. Not every time a Mishnah, an opinion is mentioned in the Mishnah, is the halacha like that. Here, the Gemara explains, halacha is in fact that even if she does get married with the approval of Beis Din, and then it turns out that there was a mistake, and in fact the first husband was alive, she is chayv to bring a korban. Both she and the second husband, they've both done an avera, which is punishable by koras if it's done by purpose, and therefore by accident they have to bring a korban chatos. And the reason is because we don't call this a hayra'a of Beis Din. You wouldn't call this a ruling of Beis Din. You would call this a ta'os Beis Din. It's called an error, a mistake, a simple mistake of Beis Din. Well, a bad mistake. Hayra'a Beis Din linase. What happens, says the Mishnah, if Beis Din gave her a ruling and they approved her to get married? They said, yes, you can get married, and her husband has died. And she went and she got married based on the Beis Din's approval, but she got married to someone who she shouldn't have been married to. Beis Din said she can get married, but they didn't say she get married to in a sinful manner. For example, let's say she was a widow. Well, she is a widow and she got married to a Kohen Gadol. Or maybe she might have been a grusha, a divorcee from a previous marriage, and she got married to an ordinary Kohen, which is absolutely prohibited. Then, chayavas b'korban. Then, if she finds out that her husband is alive, then she has to bring a korban chatos. Why? Shalahi tiruha el linase. Because this is, the Beis Din only permitted her to get married, but only to get married to someone who's permitted. Obviously, Beis Din would not allow her to marry to someone who she's permitted to. So therefore, since she acted in this way, in marrying someone who she's not allowed to be married to, so we don't say, oh, she relied on Beis Din, she doesn't have to bring a korban if her husband comes back. No, we don't say that. Here, even this Mishnah will hold that she would have to bring a korban. Mishnah Gimel. Ha'isha shahalach bailov nalim dinasiyam. A woman whose husband and son went overseas. They came and they said to her, terrible thing happened, your husband died overseas and then your son died. Now, if that happened, husband died first and then the son, then there's no din of Yibum. She doesn't need Yibum whatsoever. She's not Zukuka Yibum. Why? Because at the time of the death of her husband, there was a child alive. He might have died a minute later or an hour later. That's irrelevant. The time the husband died, there was a child. So it's not the case of Yibum or Chalitza for that matter. So thinking that that was the case, Venises, she got married to someone else. Then afterwards they came and they told her, Chilav Hoyadvarim, Oive, it was the opposite order, different, exactly opposite. What happened is your son died first and then your husband died. Well, if that's the case, she is Zakukha Liibum, because at the time of the death of her husband, there were no children, no descendants of her husband, and it was forbidden for her to go and marry someone else. So what happens in such a case? Tetze, she has to leave the second husband, who she got married to, because she's Zakukha Liibum, v'havlad rishon v'acharon mamzer. And the child, rishon and acharon, first and last, is a mamzer. What does that mean? That means any child born to her by the second husband before the first husband died will be definitely a mamzer, no question, because it's born from an ashesish that lived with another man. And even the acharon, that means even the child born from the second husband or the second man after the husband died would also be a mamzer. Why? Because it turns out that she really was meant to have Yibum. She was not allowed to go and marry an Ishsor, another man. She had to wait to get Yibum, or at least Chalitza, from the surviving brother. And she didn't. She disobeyed what it says in the Torah, that the wife of the deceased brother should not go and marry someone else if he died without children. Now, because she didn't listen and she violated that, the child is a mamzer. Now, the halacha is not like this Mishnah, because this is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva, really. Rabbi Akiva holds that any time a lav, the loisaseh, was violated, it makes no difference as to whether it's as severe as being a chi of chorus, that it has a penalty of chorus for it, which is a very severe loisaseh, or whether it's just an ordinary lav, a loisaseh. In either case, the product will be a mamzer. Halacha, however, is not like that. The halacha, there's no mamzer from just chai v'lavin. If it's just an ordinary lav, there would be a mums, of course, from the first, if the child was born before the first husband had died, yes, because that's definitely from an ashesish, that's an aveira which is punishable by karas, but not from the second, not the acharon, that would not be a mamzer, halachically. Our Mishnah says yes, because it follows Rabbi Akiva. Amarlah, what happens if they said to her, Meis b'neich, your son has died, and afterwards your husband died. Now, if that's the case, there was no need for Yibum. That means that she required to have Yibum, because that's what they told her. They told her, you know, your son died first and then your husband, which means at the time the husband died, there was no children around. There was no descendant of his around. So then now there is an obligation on the surviving brother to do Yibum, based on that testimony. And she followed that advice. She did Yibum. She was had Yibum done to her, a levirate marriage, by the surviving brother of her deceased husband. And afterwards, Omrullah, they come and tell her, Oive, it was exactly the opposite. Chilufoyadvarim. Your husband died first, and then your son died. That changes it completely. Because if the husband died first, leaving a child in this world, leaving a child alive, that means there was no Yibum. There wasn't allowed to be Yibum. She was, the widow is an Ashes Ach, she's a wife of her brother, which to marry the wife of her brother when there's no din of Yibum, that's a Issachorus. Tetze, she has to leave that marriage. V'havlad harishon v'achron mamzer. And the child born, whether it's before the husband died or whether after the husband died, is a mamzer. Even according to the Chachamim, because by living with the wife of his brother, this Yovam, this brother-in-law, has done an act, and the widow have done an act which is Chayv Koras, marrying an Eishes Ach, which when it's not a mitzvah, marrying the brother's wife when it's not a mitzvah is terrible aveira. It's a Chayv Koras, and a child born from that, everyone agrees, is a mamzer. Next case, Omrullah, if they said to her, Meis Balich, they said, your husband has died. Vinises, she got married based on that testimony. Then they said to her, Kayum Hoya, you know, when we told you he had died, he didn't really die then. He was alive at the time of your marriage. Vameis, but he died afterwards. So, interesting. What happens now? At the time that she married or got married to this second fellow, husband was alive. She was an Ashes Ish. Now, a day later, a week later, it doesn't matter, her first husband died, so now she's able to be married to this second man. But when she started the marriage, it was done as an ashesis. It was terrible. Halacha is teitzei. Halacha, she has to leave the second husband. She has to get out of the marriage. The Chachamim said, we're going to put a penalty because you didn't check this out properly. When you married, your husband was still alive. V'havlad harishon mamzer. And any child born, or that was conceived, while the first husband was still alive, will definitely be a mamzer, because that comes from an ashes ish. The man lived with a woman who's still married. He made pregnant a woman who was still married. V'ha'achroin, but any child that was conceived after the husband had died, ain't a mamzer, would not be a mamzer. Why? Because she was no longer an ashes ish. She was already a widow then. Some mafarshim learn that when the Mishnah says ain't a mamzer, it means it's not a mamzer min ha'Torah. Midrabbanan, we would hold him as a mamzer, as a knas, as a penalty. Next case. Omrala, they said to her, Meis Bailich, your husband has died, v'niskansha. And she went and had kiddushin. Didn't consummate the marriage yet. They didn't go to a chuppah and live together yet. V'achakach bo baila, and then the husband turns up. Muteras lachzalai. She's allowed to go back to the first husband without even requiring a get from the second one. The second man's kiddushin is totally invalid, and she doesn't even need a get from him. And the reason is because she didn't do an isser yet. All it was just words, that's all. Harit Mekadeshesli, he pronounced that, gave her some coins or gave her a ring. It is of no value, no consequence, nothing, because they didn't live together. And the kiddushin is totally disqualified because she was a ready married woman. So the Chachamim did not penalize there, and therefore, afal pisha nosan la'acharon get. Even if the second fellow wanted to give her a get just to take away his kiddushin, it's not even called a get, because his kiddushin was nothing. So much so that lo psolim in akuna, says the Mishnah, it doesn't even smell of a get. Normally, sometimes you give a get and the lady is, you know, it can disqualify her from kahuna. This will not disqualify from kahuna. It's a non-event. She did not need a get. Ezoi dorash Rabbi Loza ben Amasya. This is what Rabbi Loza ben Amasya learned it out of the pasuk. V'isha grusha me'isha. Lo yikocho, the pasuk says. A woman who's divorced from her husband is the woman that a kohen can't take. A woman divorced from her husband is someone who a kohen can't take. The word from her husband seems extra. Obviously, who else does she get divorced from? What does it need to say from her husband? To tell us that only a woman who's divorced from a man who was really her husband, v'loy mi'ish she'ena isha, but not from a man who was never her husband really. In other words, if she receives a get from a man who's not really her husband, we don't call her grusha, don't call her a divorcee. And here too, because she had kiddushin from a man where the kiddushin was not even a kiddushin, she was an ashes ish, so the get's not a get as well. Therefore, she will not become disqualified from kahuna. And if the first husband was a kohen, she's perfectly permitted to go back to him. Again, this case, there was no nisuin. There was only kiddushin at that stage. So therefore, no penalty was applied to her.